Good evening, everyone. Can you please join me in a salute to the flag?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This meeting is now called to order. In line with the borough's civil rights longstanding policy of open government and in compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, I wish to advise you that adequate notice of this regularly scheduled meeting has been advertised in the Asbury Park Press and faxed to the local newspapers on December 10th, 2013, and posted on the bulletin board in the borough office. In each instance, the date, time, and location of this meeting were provided in the notice. This meeting is open to the public. Councilwoman Bills?
Here.
Councilman Keeler?
Present.
Councilman Lobiondo?
Here.
Councilman Lexie?
Here.
Councilman Kelly and Councilman Murphy are out of town this evening. First item on our agenda this evening is a presentation. We have two gentlemen here, Thomas Wallace and Joseph Palumbo from the EY Company. And over the summer, the EY Company had their annual golf outing where they raised money for charitable organizations. So this summer, I was so pleased to be able to attend their golf outing, and they're here this evening to make a presentation. Joe, and I'd like to introduce you to our council here and our residents of Seabright, so Mr. Joe Palumbo and Mr. Thomas Wallace. Tom, and maybe you could tell everybody about your connection to the community.
Sure.
Here.
I'm in the state.
Okay.
So I live in Rumson across the bridge, and we belong at Edgewater, and obviously the devastation of Sandy was so incredible for all of us here. And every year, Ernst & Young, Joe, myself, and bring our group down for a three-day really strategy session, plus we do play a little golf and tennis. And every year we try to raise money for a charity. And last year it was no doubt it was going to be Seabright. And I asked people, we have them from all over the country, California, Chicago, everywhere that we bring here. And everybody was just so enthusiastic about doing something for Seabright. I drove them through what was still being repaired at the time last summer. We played a video that Sean Moran made for everybody. The mayor was kind enough to come and visit with us a little bit that evening. But we raised, really it's a day and a half of fundraising, we raised $20,000. Joe has a check there to donate to Seabright in the recovery and whatever that Dina and the town needs. So we were happy to do it. Great cause. Dina, thank you for coming out. Joe, I'm looking at it. So we brought the big fake check.
The real check has been delivered.
Real check, right? It's already been cleared?
Hopefully it cleared.
And so on behalf of the borough, really, we thank you so much. And our intention is to put this money towards the beautification and dune rebuilding efforts in Seabright.
Thank you.
Very fortunate to have such caring and generous friends in this community and surrounding community. Let's open our meeting with remarks from the audience. Is there anyone from the audience this evening who would like to be heard on any issue before we begin our business? Hi, Heather.
Hi. Heather Benanko, 400 Ocean Ave. I just got here, so if I missed it, you'll have to tell me, but I was looking at the consent agenda. Was the consent agenda, is that what's listed under the resolutions that get passed quickly, or is that something separate?
No, those are bundled together and not discussed, but voted on as one.
Right, but that's on page two. It's all the, I just think that there's something missing, because Mark Philpott was putting in stuff about the accesses. Is that in there?
That's one for discussion tonight.
What's being discussed, okay.
Council does not know about it. I was going to make a presentation.
I will back off. I'm here if there's questions. Thank you.
Any other remarks from the audience? Hi, Michelle. Hi, Michelle McMullen, 1062 Ocean Avenue. I was looking at the borough website, which was beautifully done by Mark Pappas, and I noticed that the businesses on the website are linked directly to the BSB. I think it would be a little more equal and fair if all the businesses in town could be promoted on the website, not simply the ones that decided to join the BSB. So in the alternate, perhaps a listing of mercantile license holders, would that be possible?
Yeah, I mean, we could definitely do that.
Listing of businesses?
Keep a separate businesses in Seabright?
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So we'll look into that.
Great.
Thanks.
I've seen that on other websites.
Yeah, we could do that.
What's that?
Have businesses listed separately that may not be part of...
Like a directory?
Yeah, we had all the businesses.
Yeah.
Just the directory.
Yeah, exactly.
Like a link that goes to their, the website or number?
If they were.
Yeah, you could have them listed. I think Red Bank has it.
We used to have that.
Well, we'll talk about it in committee, and we'll come back in next meeting.
Red Bank won't.
And figure something out.
Thanks for taking that up.
Okay, absolutely.
Any other remarks from the audience? Hi, Janet.
Janet Henschel, 70s Church Street. Can we get an update on the parking lot?
Mayor, I'd be happy to. We met last week with the engineer representatives from the company. Jackie's not here right now. They believe they're on time. They tell me that they're going to be done by Memorial Day. Obviously, weather has not been in their favor this year. But as of whatever day it was, last Wednesday or Thursday, they believe they're still going to be a deliverable by Memorial Day of this year.
Very good.
And that was as of last week, Janet. You know, this week's kind of been a lost week as well.
Right.
But as of last week, they were still confident that they were going to be delivering it to us by Memorial Day.
That would be great.
I think so, too.
Thanks.
Okay, first up on our list this evening is the consent agenda.
Mayor, I was not here for the November 18th meeting, so can you vote on that separately? Motion to adjourn the...
So, let's remove the minutes from 11-18-2013.
Thank you. And I'll make a motion to approve the remainder of the consent agenda.
Second.
Councilwoman Bills?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Lexi?
Yes.
Councilman Lobiano?
Yes.
Now we need a motion to approve minutes from regular meeting November 18th, 2013.
So, second.
Motion seconded. Councilwoman Bills?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Lexi?
Abstain.
Councilman Lobiano?
Yes.
Moving to ordinances. First, we have the public hearing on bond ordinance number 1-2014. This is a sewer utility bond. It appropriates $350,000 to rehabilitate the sanitary sewer system, which will include replacing the biopside system, making upgrades to the pump station, sanitary sewer system inspections and upgrades, and other necessary improvements to the sanitary sewer facility. The supplemental debt statement is on file with the Department of Community Affairs.
I'll move to open to the public.
Second.
Councilwoman Bills?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Lexi?
Yes.
Councilman Lobiano?
Yes.
Are there any comments from the... Excuse me. Do we have any remarks from the public on bond ordinance number 1-2014?
I'll move to close.
Second.
Councilwoman Bills?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Lexi?
Yes.
Councilman Lobiano?
Yes.
Now we need a motion to adopt ordinance number 1-2014 and advertise it according to law.
So moved.
Second.
Councilwoman Bills?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Lexi?
Yes.
Councilman Lobiano?
Yes.
Public hearing on bond ordinance number 2-2014 will be held at the March 18th, 2014 regular council meeting. Am I working on it?
No, you're doing it.
Okay. Now we have individual action, new business, and that's the payment of vouchers.
So moved.
Second.
You want me to read? Do I do this? I skip this. I'm sorry. Councilwoman Bills, second?
Yes, ma'am.
Councilwoman Bills? Councilwoman Bills?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Councilman Lobiano?
Yes.
We have items for discussion. The first item is the beach pavilion. Councilman Kelly, he's not here.
He is not here, Mayor, but we have, and Chris, maybe you could hand out the revised drawings of the beach pavilion so we can move the project along. Council President Kelly asked me to share it with council. There's been revisions. We've had to reduce the size of the building in order to come close to a budget amount that we're hopeful that the borough can live with. And what I can tell you is that the project is now anticipated at 6,250 square feet. As you can see on A1.01, the floor plan is the library as the central focus of this. We incorporated the concerns of the library committee that met with us. Councilman Lexstein was there and Councilman Kelly were there. We showed the children's section. We show storage with the drop box on the bottom left-hand corner. We have some individual areas where different sections of the library will be. The circulation desk will be in the center. The reading room will be along the front entrance, along the front portion facing the ocean. And there will be two bathrooms only accessible from the area and the deck in front of the library. The beach office, bottom left-hand corner, will be where we will sell beach badges, etc., when people walk onto the beach. A102 is the second story community room of about 1,000 square feet, a little bit more. A men's room, a women's room, an office, and a smaller community meeting room. A102 and A103 show the way. The room could be divided with movable partitions so that you can have four events going on at one time if necessary. So the architect took into consideration the concerns and recommendations of the various groups, and I know Councilman Kelly will be meeting again with the architects and the other groups to make sure that it meets with their approval. But I think we've incorporated handicap access, an elevator for two stories, and sufficient space for the public and the citizens of Seabright to really enjoy a beautiful building. Once we decide on the program for the building, the critical cost analysis will be done, but we believe it should be under the $2 million mark for the project at this point. We've had to reduce it in scope and size, obviously, to meet any chance of a financial commitment that we can place towards it at this time, and given our financial situation. So please review it, take a look, and let us know, especially Councilman Kelly, if you have any criticisms and or concerns.
Just so I make sure I don't get confused. This is the entrance from the parking lot.
Correct. Right,
and that's the ocean beach over there.
That's correct, sir. Okay. And that's the elevator at ground level, goes up to both, and then there are stairs on either side of it should you not want to use the elevator. There's a handicap where there's both ramps on either side of the project that take you up so that you can get to the library and the deck out front.
So does the elevator to get into the library?
Yes, you can use the elevator absolutely to get in the library. If you don't want to use the handicap ramps on either side, you can use the elevator from ground level right to the first floor. Yes. It's completely handicapped accessible, and both from the outside and the elevator.
So the elevator is inside or outside?
It's really
outside.
Looks like it's under the cover.
It's got covered floor. You enter in from the outside to get into the elevator, and then of course it goes inside. It opens up inside once you're in.
Okay.
You're not going to see, I don't think you see the elevator going all the way up. It's just, it has its main entrance at the...
Looks like the stairs.
I think that's the only way you get to the library.
No, no, you can take, you can walk in through ramps also.
Or the stairs.
I know.
Or stairs, yeah.
There's three ways.
You could go up either side of the elevator, the stairs right into the library. The ramps will take you around to the front entrance if you'd like it that way, or the elevator will take you for handicap access straight up, one floor. So those are for you to review and make any recommendations you'd like.
Thank you. How about the cell tower discussion?
Can I carry that, please?
Well, the dune system discussion.
Dune system discussion. Do you have this, Chris? The dune committee, Councilman Murphy and Mark Philpott of our Public Works and Beach Department have met several times with the group, trying to determine what's a fair way to provide a dune system as well as access at various locations throughout the borough. You have in front of you their recommendations. And the 16, I believe, points of access. Seventeen points of access. You have South Beach that is indicated, and you have a key to attached to it. So the southernmost access would be the municipal access number 6 at the south point of Seabright. Island View would be next going north. Trade Winds would be the next access. Seabright Village, and then Ocean Ridge Runaway Beach. Of course, we have a public access behind the borough complex here, and as well as the municipal beaches where the dune system is not as advanced. The next would be the municipal access at Anchorage Beach, and then Seabridge in the what we call the south section of town. Moving to the north section of town, you can see where they are making recommendations for accesses. Now, these accesses won't be cut-throughs through the dune system, because then it would really forfeit the benefit of the dunes. They're really going to be walkovers. I think at this point they're going to be delineated by some post and rail fencing so that people understand where they go over the dune rather than a cut through. So you're still going to have to walk up and over the dune in those areas that will be established by a post and rail fence. To the west side of the dune is where the fence will be, the snow fence will be. And to the east side of the dune is where the biomimicry system will be developed, trying to establish more dune system towards the east portion of the dune. And although I was not privy to the meeting, Mark Philpott briefed me this morning. I may be able to answer some questions, but at this point, those are the recommendations of the walkover dune system from the committee.
So what do we need, a resolution if we agree with it?
Well, you're just saying it. We're going to have to start doing it soon. It's, you never know when it might get nice out. But
so do you want to put out, so it should be adopted? Do we need to adopt it formally?
You should adopt it formally, establishing the accesses. It's a pretty aggressive schedule. I mean, there were 17 of them. I think there's been more in the past because of all the walkovers. And you certainly can't put a beach access at every stairway within the borough. It would kind of defeat the purpose of the dune system.
So can you create a resolution for the next council meeting and we'll...
Well, I could if you want to make some recommendations. I'd like to take those into consideration.
If this is what the dune committee came up with, I mean, I'm fine with it if no one else has any objections.
I just have to pick it out blocks. Block numbers easy, lot numbers a little more challenging, but we can figure it out.
I could put it on the workshop for next week for further consideration.
Well, The one thing is we're working against the clock for the piping plover, so anything, any work that gets done south of Island View Way or north of Chippehoy Beach Club needs to be completed by March 15th.
That's not enough time then.
I think we're kind of good though.
We're good for the central recreational zone in the middle.
But the fence, I think we're good with, because we're going to comply with their recommendations for the fence. They've agreed with the biomimicry process along the eastern portion of the dunes.
I don't want to hold it up.
Then let's do it tonight. I mean, I'll make a motion to amend the agenda if no one has an objection to resolution. What's the next resolution? 51-2015?
52.
52? Okay. That resolution to amend to that the council hereby officially adopts the proposal of the Dune Committee for the Dune crossover points.
Who's got a second?
I think you ought to hear from some people.
I
just had a question of the walkover. Jerry, are you familiar with them?
Kind of.
I'm just trying to think, are we saying walkover, that the dune's still going to be in place and they're just not putting dune grass in that location?
Correct.
No, there's not going to be a hole in it.
No, there will not be.
Because I've seen that before too, I don't like that.
Pardon me?
No, I've seen it when they cut through.
I want to see a picture.
This is what we're striving for, if you can pass it up.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure I know what it is, but I just don't want to vote on something I'm 100% sure.
I want to know what it looks like too.
Could I walk a little bit, would that be okay?
Yeah, if you could, Heather, because I think everyone needs a little bit of
explanation. That's a mature walkway. So, over time, we hope it's going to look like that.
Yeah, it's up and over the dune. So instead of walking through, we used to have these zigzag paths through the dune that would cut through. And what happens is that when the water's high, the water comes in and it pulls the sand back out, the dune grass and everything. So we've learned that up and over is the best way. The way that the up and overs will be marked out is with the split rail fence on both sides, like Joe was saying. Ideally, we want to have something like Mr. Boardwalk. That goes up and over the dunes also. That's a little bit more expensive, but we're trying to see if we can get the condo associations to participate with us on that and do some fundraising. But that helps it so that the sand doesn't get a V in it as people are walking over and the sand gets pushed down and helps it be more stable. So that's why the up and overs are the safest way to do it so that the dunes stay the strongest.
These walkways continue onto both sides?
It's on the downside. It's on the west and the east all the way down the path.
Yeah, I mean, we'll go broke using Mr. Boardwalk, so I just encourage that hopefully they can work together with us,
we have a letter to send to them as soon as this is approved. We have a letter ready to go to get
that. That would be the only thing I'd be concerned with, just getting out of hand price-wise, but it's a great, I like the up and over rather than the, you know, I've seen the cut-throughs, that's kind of a waste of
Exactly.
So I do like that.
Jack, to your point, I think if the council does adopt this by resolution, we're going to need to send a letter to all, particularly the affected property owners, just to notify them what has happened and why. But what are the concerns you're not saying, Jeff?
Well, a number of people have put their own decks up, and are they going to have access down, and then what?
Then they have to walk either north or south till they get to their nearest dune walkover to access the water.
Is there going to be...
Just because someone can afford to put a staircase over the wall doesn't necessarily imply that they have to access directly from that staircase over the dune to the beach.
Well, some people do have riparian rights that extend out to the water.
I don't think so.
Yes, they do. I haven't. So,
you?
Yes.
Over the wall and to the beach?
Yes.
Yes, sir. That's some people rare... do have them.
No, a number of people have them. I'm just telling you, we got them from the railroad. We bought that property from the railroad. The riparian rights went with that property. Mm-hmm. Now, what happened when the sand project went in, we had to grant an easement to the public. Okay. But that's the extent of what was granted. I agree with this, but I just don't want people coming in here 2 weeks from now saying, hey, wait a minute. Yeah, that's all.
If
someone does own the right to access directly to the water, you know, through a grant, then there's nothing that the borough can do.
Well, they may well go on. If it's a reasonable walk, I think they'd be happy to have that. Myself, right. I would.
A big part of what we're trying to do is to re-educate the public on the redesign of the dunes and why it's important. So we have some folks on the Dune Committee that are spending a lot of time developing educational materials that we're going to be getting out in various forms. But it's a big change from what was there.
Yes.
Basically, you were able to walk over the wall and just walk through the dunes. But we saw that they weren't very stable. After the storm, they were pretty much taken out.
No, I don't misunderstand. I think it's a good plan.
Sure.
But I just, people say, hey, wait a minute, that's kind of a thing. Just, is there going to be a gap between the, like a walk, a pathway on the ocean side of the seawall so you can walk parallel to the seawall till you get to the walkway or get to the walkover?
There is now.
And that's going to stay?
There is now, yeah.
So then it's fine.
Yeah, so you can walk, you can go over the seawall, walk north and south to a walkway.
So they won't have to walk along the top of the seawall. They get down on the beach. They just walk.
If I can, if I may, just go back to your point about the repairing grants. Does anybody know?
I didn't know. I'm surprised.
I'm curious about that because I don't know. I don't know if anybody knows.
Can we put the conversation either on the record or? This isn't.
Yeah, Irish. Can you come up to the microphone?
You have to state your name and address for the record, Ira.
Oh. I was so comfortable there.
I just state your name again for the record and your address.
Ira Schussheim, 730 Ocean Avenue.
Thank you.
Go
ahead. What we were talking about was if anybody has any in-depth understanding of the extent of these riparian grants on the ocean side. I know at one point Mark was looking to looking for funding to fund a project to try to understand the extent of the easements, along Ocean Avenue. Nothing ever came of that, but I think that's an important consideration for the town at some point.
And a related question for that, and I admit ignorance. I did not know that people had riparian rights going out to the ocean. Pat, if someone does, how do we deal with the dunes on that, in that arena?
Get easements ready.
You may need easements.
Get them ready.
I'm saying, if someone says they don't want to do that.
I'd have to check to see under the scope of the governor's executive order that was issued to other towns whether or not this covers up here or not. Where the state's been authorized to acquire if the municipality can't. I'll have to look. I haven't looked at it as to whether it applies up here or not. I know there are other towns in Ocean County where they had orders issued to start acquisitions, Maniloki, Gorthley Beach.
You mean if the property owner refuses to do it?
Right.
So that's recourse.
I'm sure.
I think everyone hopefully would. I'm just saying, I'm playing devil's advocate.
They sign easements for public access.
Yeah, but some people don't.
They sign easements to have their access dropped off.
We have to look at their easement agreements and what the riparian rights are, whether it's
licensed or not. Jeff, do you have an idea of what you have?
I know Loretta Hanley.
Does anybody have any sense of to what extent those easements run out to the water?
What, 1,000 feet?
150.
Riparian rights, well, easements are different.
Oh, the easements, I'm sorry.
In general, I was under the understanding that most of those deeds passed just east of the seawall, and then they stopped.
No, not in my case. They went out quite a ways. They went out under the water.
Yeah, they were for people's boats.
It came from the railroad. When the railroad put the line in, they acquired those easements.
But the railroad didn't own to the water in every case, did they?
The railroad acquired, I don't know how they came about it, but they acquired 1,000-foot riparian right.
Well, obviously this could be problematic at some point, but I think, we're under the gun.
Yeah.
So maybe we should beg for forgiveness later. I don't know.
I would hope.
I think so.
I think my motion stands to add that
Let's
resolution.
Let's put it through and see what happens.
And then if we have to deal with it, we deal with it. Right. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
So that's my motion. Did someone second my motion?
I'll second.
Thank you.
To amend the agenda.
The motion was to amend the agenda with resolution number 52-2014, recognizing the list as promulgated by...
We're just amending the agenda.
Oh, okay.
Then you got to vote the main motion.
All right.
So we have a motion to amend the agenda. We need a second to...
Second. Okay, Councilman. I have one more question. Do you know the distances between the walkovers?
These are different south and north.
I have a good question. Let me try to explain our logic.
Can you back up? Only because of the recording system. I'm sorry.
So you need to tell you my address again?
No.
I feel like I'm going to be robbed tonight. So this is our logic. And we tried to, we really did agonize over this because we tried to create something that was defensible, not just to the council, but to all the residents of town. So clearly, our first objective was to provide walkovers at the municipal staircases. Second, areas of high population density, which are the condo associations. And then other areas of high population density and proximity to other walkovers. So in North Beach, for example, there's a Shrewsbury Way street, and there are a whole bunch of houses over there. So we did several walks up and down Ocean Avenue and tried to do the best we could. The only thing I can tell you is, we'll try to be attentive to what's going on this summer. I'm sure we'll get calls. You folks will get calls complaining that we have to walk too far with our kids. We have to run back to the bathroom. You know, there's going to be all sorts of complaints why we need more crossovers over the dunes. And that's fine. We'll evaluate it this season, and then we'll come back and maybe do something next year. But that's the logic.
Okay.
Municipal staircases, condo associations, and then areas of high density.
Thank you.
All right, so I have a motion to amend the agenda.
Right.
And I second.
And I second.
Okay.
All right. Councilwoman Bills.
Yes.
Councilman Keeler.
Yes.
Councilman Lacy.
Yes.
Councilman Lobiel.
Yes.
And now I have a motion to add a resolution number 52-2014, formally adopting the recommendations of the Dune Committee and advising the residents of such. However you want to do it.
I think we can just accept the recommendations for the, right now we're accepting the locations.
Okay. Fair enough. That's fine.
Second.
Councilwoman Dulles.
Yes.
Councilman Keeler.
Yes.
Councilman Lexi.
Yes.
Councilman Lobiondo.
Yes.
Thank you.
And thank you to the Dune Committee for putting that together.
We next have on our agenda a budget schedule update. So happy to see Mr. Bascom here. Mr. Bascom, do you have a budget schedule update for us?
A budget schedule update, yes. We'll be introducing at the next meeting. So we'll be sharing some information with the Finance Committee and everybody else between now and then. But basically, we're introducing loosely based upon the draft budget that we're required to submit for our essential services grant application for this year. We will not know what our essential service grant funding is until probably May. So it's going to happen. They gave us a number that we can use for introduction purposes, but we cannot use it for adoption purposes. So we're going to move forward with introduction at the next meeting. It is based upon that draft budget, which we had to utilize to justify our need for the essential services funding. Essential services funding is basically being used to offset public safety and public health types of services within the budget. Where we stand right now is if we move forward with that budget and receive the 75% number that they allowed us to use, we'd be talking somewhere between a 3 and 5 cent tax increase for the year, which is partially why we will not be adopting in April. We'll be waiting for the essential services grant award and then making determinations at that point how to move forward with the budget. We did change the date of the hearing to April 22nd, correct?
We talked about it, okay. But yes, I think council agreed to it, Mike.
Okay. That will be the budget hearing, but there will be no adoption that night. So that'll be the public hearing, but there'll be no adoption that night. We did go up and meet in Trenton in regard to the Central Services Grant, and they're very understanding of our situation and would like to close that gap. I believe they would like to see a 2% tax increase from the borough, so they will probably close our 3 to 5 cent down to 1 or 2 cents and move forward if we're true to our word and we can demonstrate the need, which we've tried to do to them. We also met in reference to the community disaster loan in an effort to have that changed to a community disaster grant or to have it canceled. It's going to take 3 years to determine whether or not that can be canceled. So they're going to monitor our operations for the next 3 years. At the end of 3 years, they'll make a determination whether any part of that loan has to be paid back. Could be a full cancellation, could be a partial cancellation, or they could choose to require us to pay it back over a period of 5 to 10 years. But that would not happen until 5 years from the date that we actually closed on the loan, which was last year, so 4 more years from now. The one portion of the budget that they probably will not offset with the essential services grant is the first payment on the revalve. So that's $50,000. That's roughly a little bit more than 1 cent of the tax increase is attributable to the revaluation. It's unlikely that they will include that when they calculate our need going forth with the essential services grant. They recognize the tax impact on our residents. They understand that that's, you know, the bottom line. However, we have to fall within certain criteria for HUD funding, and that really doesn't meet the, you know, essential services requirement. So that is where we stand. Answer your questions if you have any.
Did you say that that's the first installment that they will not include, or is it the whole revalve?
No, the whole revalve. So last year you passed a special emergency for $250,000 to fund the revalve. That'll be paid back over 5 years because you borrowed from yourself basically for 5 years. So that'll be paid back through the budget over 5 years. So that's $50,000 per year in your budget, which will be raised and then canceled back to surplus. So replenish the surplus that you utilize to fund the revaluation.
I have a couple of questions, but I'll take your time after. I'm not going to be at the budget introduction meeting, so I'll follow up with you. Thank you. Brings us to the ending portion of our meeting, the second opportunity for remarks from the audience. Is there anyone from the audience who would like to be heard on any issue? Coming up, Mary Ann.
Marianne McKenzie, 612 Ocean. Two things. On the easements, I signed an easement at the original sand replenishment, seawall reconstruction splash pad. And it wasn't just limited to that. It was basically, we're giving our rights, come over, do whatever. So I hope we're not going to spend a whole lot of money and time researching things when a lot of people have done it already, can ask them. I probably have a copy of mine. Some of this on. Yeah. Yeah, I'll get it to you. I'll show you what it says. And
right.
Yeah, I know my neighbors. I mean, we all went around, you know, handed out to different people.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Aren't those the ones that we have down here?
I have one. Well, no, she's talking about something different.
Ones.
You have the one that has the, original. Like, with the bike path in it.
Okay. Yeah, it was to get over to, it was the whole combination when we, everything we had to do to get sand in the first place.
Right, the first time around,
which
right.
ended up the stuff we were talking about that happened then with access, et cetera, that all came after. It was all hooked in together. It was the original, I think it was around 93.
That's right.
It's possible that if those easements were done, that copies were recorded here in our clerk's.
Yes.
Our clerk should have retained copies.
Or it's in.
And if not, it's in Freehold.
In Freehold.
Unless we know where they are, we can get.
And it, you know what? It was over a period of time, though. For some reason, it took a period of time. I think a few people actually maybe got money. Most people just did it.
Two or three.
Right. And I mean, there were a couple of issues. Jack could probably remember specifically who they were. I mean, people were, you know, people walking around getting this done because we're saying, are you crazy? You know, okay, you have the rights to this, but the water at that point at my house, Dina, where we were, you know where it is exactly now. The water was up to the seawall. We never had a beach. Low tide was like this. The beach we could use was at Shrewsbury Way, and it was a little triangle. Every year we had to build new steps because they'd get ruined on the other side. We had no beach.
We're living proof beach replenishment
right.
works.
I mean, yeah. So that's the first point. The second point is, While we have spent money, while we have plans, et cetera, I truly do not believe this pavilion, which I've called a pagoda because it looks like a pagoda, but again, taste is taste, like planning board, I'm not going to say anything about that. This is not a revenue-generating 12-month facility that was the vision of 2020. Now, I understand the borough didn't adopt the plan, accepted it, but I really do believe that it's the sense of the town and the council, if possible, to really create something that is going to be big, functional, and revenue-generating. Our concept, and actually Linda's here, was one of the, she's actually the advocate, along with Linda Arison, was to be akin to a Little Monmouth, where you have lockers and it makes money. Little Monmouth also has a pool, I will acknowledge that's part of it, but they net, if you're not talking about other repairs and whatever, over 500,000 a year, usually around 600. They sell their memberships, people like to have lockers. To go forward with this, I think the library, I think there's opportunities where if we do a different kind of thing, we do public-private partnerships, allow someone to come in, we could get a really nice library cultural center separate that really will be what our town should have. This on the first floor in a beach is, to me, is illogical. And the biggest component is, does this include the build out of the library, computers, the furniture, the things to make it beautiful, or is this just the structure? As of, with the price, trying what was 1.7, which is now 2 million.
It includes furnishings, but I don't know about computers. It includes shelves, tables.
Is there a kitchen upstairs?
I believe so.
Yeah, okay. I know Linda had recommended, and I frankly agree, that there needed to be some revenue-generating potential and
just the
community space.
The building upstairs, I mean, I understand we rent out a space, but that's not, you know, that's not going to be a lot. You have a couple people coming, renting a room out for whatever we charge.
Yes.
That's really not going to be very much revenue generating. And the biggest issue I have is, Joe, remember, it was the workshop meeting where Joe, there weren't a lot of people here, but he went through the list of things that made the price tag of our Anchorage project obscene is the word, obscene. And it has to do with how it has to be done. $10,000 to an architect for looking at bids. Thousands and thousands for somebody to stand there from T&M, making sure people are doing what they're supposed to be doing. The wood, whatever that was, something about some special kind of wood, prevailing wage. If a private entity did that, you know it would be nothing like it. I did the math. 2 million divided by the reduced, $320 a square foot. You get a mansion for that. I won't give, I've gotten quotes from people for other things that you do. Actually, also John Lamia was doing that, was going along. It's, you're bound by it, you're bound what it is, but I just don't think it's the function of our municipal government to spend $2 million to get something that's worth less than half of that and doesn't do what our community deserves. So again, I understand thousands are paid on Anchorage, the bond with the bathroom, all that. We don't have to do the same thing again. And I think the same problem's going to come up. It's going to take longer. And it, with our financial situation, I think it is, it's scary. As a resident, to me, it's scary. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Ann. Anybody else?
Hi. Come on. And this is Ankle again, 400 Ocean Avenue. To kind of pick up on what Mary Ann was talking about, I have a lot of concerns also about the beach pavilion. I get it that the council really wants to do something nice for the community and that you're all working hard for that, and I appreciate that and all the time that Joe and everybody else has put into it. I just don't think that it fits the bill, and it's awfully expensive. I'd be curious to ask Mike if that affects how, when they're looking at Seabright and our budget over the next 5 years and they're deciding whether they want to forgive a loan or not forgive a loan, and if we put up a $2 million building, do they say, not smart, and we're not forgiving your loan? I don't know if it affects that, but that's one of the things that comes to my mind. But I really don't think that it, without having shower facilities and locker rooms and stuff like that, I just don't think that it's everything that we need. And I think that if we took that step back to looking at the master plan, which we're redoing our master plan, I guess, as we speak, that's happening, I hope. And I think that there needs to be that master plan and decided before we go ahead and build this big building. I don't get why we're building a building without having the master plan and knowing what the ultimate goal is. Are we developing the parking lot? Are we selling it? Are we not selling it? What's the whole deal? I think that we should figure that out before we build the building. That's my opinion on that. Thank you all for looking at the Dune crossovers and passing that. We've worked really hard on that, and I appreciate the support on that. Just so all of you know, there's a big dune grass planting going on March 15th, which is the last day that we're allowed to work. So let's all hope the ground thaws out by then. We're doing grass planting. We're doing biomimicry that day, and we're hoping to get some of the crossovers built that day also. So thanks for your support with that. Just wanted to let you know we'll be working south of the center of town around the Seabright Village Trade Winds area is one planting area, and then north of the Key going towards the Highlands Bridge is our other planting area, just so that you're aware of that. I think that the council wants to know what's going on with that project. And the last thing I have a question about, I know you guys already passed this in the consent agenda, but the mosquito extermination and aerial surveillance and treatment, I am curious about that. I have small children. I don't like the thought of people spraying chemicals on them. So I just wanted to have an understanding of what goes on with that, if you could tell us. Thank you.
Every year, we have to sign an agreement with the Mosquito Control Commission, and a couple of times a season, they do fly over. And Joe, can you talk a little bit more about what they're spraying?
I can show you the area. I'm not quite sure the chemical or whatever product that they utilize.
They did send out a letter that we got today, and I think residents, there's going to be a website you can go on to, and it'll say when and where they're going to be doing this, and you can get notified. You can sign up for notifications and things like that.
If I go to the mosquito control website?
I have it. It just came in.
We'll email it to you, Heather.
This is just for
and we'll put it on the website.
For clarification, this is something that I assume that all of us have been exposed to every single day of our lives in the Monmouth County since we've been alive, pretty much.
It explains a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, they've been doing this. It's not a new thing. They've been doing this every single year.
So they change the chemicals depending on what EPA says is or isn't allowed to be used.
Right. It's always controversial, I know, the Mosquito Control Commission.
And I'd just like to echo on behalf of the governing body, thank you for all your work on the Dune Committee and everything that you've done there. We really appreciate it. And just remember, with the nesting season, you're only restricted in the northern and southern protected zones. In the central recreational zone, you can do whatever you want all year long. Right? So that central recreational zone is Seabright Village, Runaway Beach, Ocean Ridge, those areas there. You don't have to beat the clock, but you do in North Beach.
Reed is trying to find out whether or not this really bad weather has in some way delayed the migration, which may give us a little bit more time.
That would be great.
So we don't know, but it's just been an unforgiving winter.
Any other remarks in the audience?
Oh. Linda Richter, to the Village. I understand the constraints that you had to deal with when you thought about the pavilion, you know, the vision that it was going to be. Obviously, there were, you know, significant issues related to the library. I just wanted to know if you could take into consideration that the architect planned for the future and that this would be a building that could be expanded upon, because that would be great potential. And again, revenue generating. Thank you very much.
Could I just, are you in favor of this or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just in support of Mary Ann and Heather and Linda, I just want to also say that the pavilion, you know, this town is in the process of trying to secure funding from many different sources. And it's imperative that whatever we do be done in light of an overall plan so that people understand we know what we're doing, we know where we're headed, so that things that we do today aren't undone in a year or two or 5 years from now. People do not like to give funding towards anybody or any organization that that doesn't have a vision about what they want to do and how they want to do it. And I think we're, you know, from where I come from, you want to have an overall plan and vision for Seabright, particularly the ocean front of Seabright right now, which is what we're talking about. And to not have that A vision prior to designing any facility within that boundary of your vision is kind of ludicrous from a planning perspective. You don't design something before you know where you're headed, because you wind up building something that later on you're going to take down or renovate or whatever. And that's not to say that a pavilion that you build today isn't part of your overall vision, and it's designed with the intention that it will be expanded, and when it's expanded, it'll look like this. It's not that we have a building and now you've got to make an expansion to it that you've got to make work. You plan it from the outset to expand. So with that, I've said enough, and I just hope that we're thinking along those lines. Thank you.
Did he say his name and address? Did you get name and address? No.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay.
Did you get it? No. Mr. Mooney, your address for the record?
Sorry, 1340 Ocean Avenue.
1340 Ocean Avenue. Thank you.
Only for the next month.
Anybody else this evening? Unfortunately, our work's not done, so I need a motion to take us into executive session.
So moved.
Purposes pending litigation.
So moved.
Second. Councilwoman Dose?
Yes.
Councilman Keeler?
Yes.
Councilman Lexstein?
Yes.
Councilman Loviano?
Yes.
I'll wait for the room to clear. Do you want to?
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm the judge.